Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Neil Baker Psychic Hour. I am Kristen, and I'm here with psychic and author Neil Baker. Good morning, Neil.
Good morning.
And it is Monday morning. We're back here for another show. Thanks, everyone, for joining us. Today, Neil, we're going to be talking a little bit about interval. Sorry, got a speech impediment plaguing me already. We're talking about vibration today. We talk about vibration on the show frequently. But today, we're going to be discussing vibration in relation to an individual vibration and the vibration of a larger group, even a global vibration, a worldly vibration. But first, I want to let everyone know how to get in touch with us and how to stay in touch. You may follow us right here on Blog Talk Radio. And actually, I realize that our iTunes link on this show has been broken for quite some time, so I had someone from Blog Talk Radio very kindly help me fix it over the weekend. So you can actually access our podcast from our Blog Talk Radio page, the Neil Baker Psychic Hour. So just click on that button for our podcast. We are available on Stitcher as well, and our Facebook link, as well as our Twitter link, is available under our Blog Talk Radio profile. And, of course, there's a fan page as well that is not linked here, and you can find that via our friend page on Facebook, which some of you have already found us on. But anyway, Neil, I'm going to hand it over to you so we can get started here.
Well, I thought an interesting topic is about, at least for myself as a psychic, how I perceive vibrations. Vibrations are basically energy fields that I'm getting from certain sources. When I do an individual reading, I'm, of course, dealing with, well, probably a marriage between my guide and the subject's guide.
Now, are you talking
the
about...
the subject spirit.
No, your guide. Are you talking about your personal guide, the personal guide that was a human in the life, in a human life prior to being on the other side? Or are you talking about angels? I mean, what do you...
Well,
who's the guide?
Their guides are... can be a combination.
Mm-hmm.
Most guides, a lot of guides have been human beings, and
right.
So they graduate into the astral realm. They become a personal guide for another human being, on the physical plane. You can have spiritual guides. You can have spirits and angels that can basically be guides. But we tend to think that we have personal angels.
Mm-hmm.
That's a tricky concept,
right?
Because angels are not. They've never held a human body.
So your
guides that we have, personal guides. They've graduated off the planet. They're in the soul spirit realm, and they are personal guides for people that they're kind of assigned to.
Uh-huh.
Angels are a little bit different. We can have personal angels because the term is a personal connection to an angel, but we basically, it's a different energy field.
Okay, so...
And angels don't necessarily give us predictions, so to speak.
Right.
Unless it's kind of instructed by God to do so.
So in relation to this topic, you're saying that your guide, not angels, maybe get together with someone you're doing a reading for in a specific... We're just talking about the specific...
Yeah, I have guides and whatnot, and angel guides. I mean, I guess you can call them angel guides, angel... spirit and angels around me that inform me of information. But I also have to work with a person's individual guide. and their energy fields, because there's got to be a communication process that goes on, because it's internally there's a lot of dialogue that goes on between how I discuss things with my guide, but I have to take into account the person and what they're going through and what their guide has to offer or what they may share. So it's a kind of a communion energy that goes on whenever I give an individual reading.
Okay.
Now, when I go into a broader vision of the world, I'm not dealing with necessarily anyone's personal guide. That comes from a different league of energies.
Okay.
That have to do more with the broadening of the global unit. And that, I tend to feel a different vibration. It's a whole different category of energy. And then they'll start to reveal to me things that are going on the planet, on a global level.
Global. Never mind. The word is, anyway. It's another subject. But anyway, yes, we are talking about a planetary.
On one level, I'm very concerned about the state of our planet because of the nuclear arms race and the arsenals, the nuclear arsenals and everything that are going on. And now we're speeding that up on a world level. Russia's increasing their nuclear warheads, and they've just recently they exploded a nuclear bomb, or they were trying to figure out how a nuclear ballistic missile was capable of delivering nuclear warheads over a large period of territory. And now we've got the idea that China can threaten us with a nuclear device, and they can reach something within our continent, our country. And that concerns me, because when I deal with the global energies, that whole different vibration, I'm not given the best visions.
Right.
I've got a lot of things I'm concerned about as long as I'm on this planet, in terms of what can happen even within my lifetime. I'm not anticipating anything happening tomorrow or within the next decade, but, well, maybe within the next decade we might see some kind of confrontation, and it's rather scary. But that is a debate, these nuclear weapons, that's growing, I think, more urgent now as we speak. And we really don't have a lot of time to talk about that, because I really want to specify what's the difference between when I read a vibration from a person,
versus
it's very different
than when you're getting a vibration.
Vibration.
So where does that come from, Neil? I mean, can you enlighten us a bit on how you read the information about, you know, when you're making a prediction for our world or for our country, rather than dealing with the energy of an individual?
Well, I don't. When I'm dealing with a worldly level, and I'm not imposing or asking for energy, it will come at me like an earthquake.
Huh.
It's almost like a door is opening up in my world, and I'm getting a rush of energy. And why they give it to me, I don't know why, because they give me visions, but I don't know what I'm supposed to really do with them. I'm collecting them in my mind and brain. I write down certain notes about them. I don't know what I'm going to do with these notes at this point, but I have compiled information they've given me about an impending global disaster that's not induced by an earthquake or some major storm, but by a war. And this has been given to me, this information has been given to me since I was small. Now that comes in, it's like a huge torrent of energy. I mean, I'm bombarded by it. I'm frozen with it. I can't do anything but just experience the energy, translate it, write it down, and so forth. I haven't yet come to a place where I've published my compilation of notes, but certainly they're there. Now, on an individual level, when I'm dealing with someone, that's very different. It's more subtle, more quiet. I have to concentrate more. I have to really study it more diligently. On the world basis, it just hits me. On an individual basis, I'm dealing specifically, it's like a one-on-one conversation. It's almost like a chamber piece, as opposed to a great orchestral work. It's very small, intimate. I'm listening to details about a person's life, what's going on with them. And so it's almost like a single voice. The other one is almost like a massive chorus of energy. It's very strange to experience in the physical body, because what's happening is that these vibrations sink down into my astral realm, and I perceive the messages as such.
Well, it's interesting because if information about the planet hits you so heavily and clearly, it must be pretty easy to decipher the vibration, whereas it would seem like it would be more of an intricate process in deciphering codes within what you're hearing on an individual basis. So,
yes, true. And this whole idea of deciphering codes, I mean, this is what we do in the military. This is what we do in all kinds of translations of life that have nothing to do with being psychic.
Mm-hmm.
But the ability to decipher a code or translate a code or admission or a emission or a electrical energy or a pulse,
uh-huh,
a vibration, if you will, is, I think, very important. There's even sounds that have to be decoded in the military that mean something. And indeed, even in my world, I'll hear sounds on a vibrational level that I have to slowly, slowly decode until they form and morph into words. Oftentimes when I'm doing a reading, someone will ask me a specific question, and I can't answer it, but for the sake that I hear a vibration, I can say, wow, something's coming up, you better be careful. Now, sometimes it's not something that is specific in nature, but I can tell from the vibrational code that something in its intensity is either large or small, and then I can later define what it might be as I go deeper into the energy itself.
Well, of course, you work with changing energy, Neil, and I know that with many of the people that you deal with, you're able to transform maybe what was coming by using energy. Are you able to do that on a world scale?
No.
As much? No. So those events are more fixed, is what you're,
yeah,
saying.
Yeah. Oh, no, I can't. There's nothing I can do to change world events. I mean, my biggest question is, why do they let me know certain things? And then I'm sort of meant to keep it under lock and key, which I don't know yet what the ultimate purpose is of that from whatever source I'm getting this information from. But I've been astonished at how accurate my personal visions have been, and I've seen things happen.
Right, you saw 9/11, for instance.
Yeah, well, that was I was a bit more public outcry about that one, and I shared it with people.
That was, but it was quite a while ago that you had the vision. It was like in high school.
Oh, yeah,
it
was way in, uh-huh, high school, but it was very specific about New York and everything. The attitude here is not so much that I'm supposed to publicly proclaim what I see, which I find sort of, I'm kind of caught in this realm, like Nostradamus or St. John, you know, to the extent that I've got these personal notes that are very intriguing, and on some level, some of them have already come to pass. So I'm like, for instance, one of the most recent ones was infiltrating the White House. I saw that happening with the guy,
right,
who jumped
over the
fence.
Right.
I, mm-hmm, saw that weeks before. I saw him going into the White House. Now, I don't know why I can't share that yet, you know, because I think that there's a general higher principle that I'm not supposed to intervene on. But why I'm being told these things, I do believe.
So you're
that
talking about you're keeping your predictions in that regard to yourself.
If I'm told to, I won't,
yeah,
public. You know, if a source is giving them to me and they say lock and key, keep it under lock and key, I do. Now, I know that throughout history, certain individuals are given information, and how that information might transform into something more visible and tangible is something I'm yet to experience on that worldly level. Now, when I deal with an individual, it's not like when I'm giving a reading, I get a spirit that says, oh, here's something for this person, but don't tell them. I really don't do that. But when it has happened, it's been rare. But you basically, when I give a personal reading, I tell the person what I'm perceiving and what I'm receiving immediately, unless it's something that's so far-reaching and that it takes a test for the individual to get to. Then, of course, I might withhold it. just because they're not ready to hear it yet.
Uh-huh.
And it would just go in one ear and out the other. Although oftentimes I'll do an individual reading and talk to a person's personal guide and give them information. To them it makes no sense. They can't connect to it. And I've gotten calls over the years on readings that I've done where a person will call me years later and say, God, I looked up my notes and the things that you talked about then that made no sense are coming in now. And so that happens quite often. So a lot of the information I get is far-reaching in time, but yet applicable to a person's destiny.
Okay, Neil. Well, let's get to some of our callers. Thank you for that. Very interesting. And, we have several people in the queue, so everyone's going to get a reading. I'm going in the order here. The callers came in, 860, then 509, then 914, 860. You're on the air.
Hello, this is Susan calling from Connecticut.
Yes, we got your birth date. You're 10/29/58, Susan. Good morning.
Good morning. Hi, Neil.
Hi.
I was just wondering if my finances are going to improve.
Okay, Susan, she's an 8.
Yeah.
So that's definitely related to finances.
It is?
Yeah, and the last, it's a money number, and...
Is it a good money number or a bad money number?
It's a good money number. In fact, you've got an 8 in the 1958 as well, so that's,
mm-hmm.
that's a nice energy. But, you know, I was wondering on the last call, I'm kind of recalling that you were asking about finances then as well. Is that...
Yeah.
Am I remembering that right? What did Neil say?
I don't know.
You don't remember?
No.
Take notes. Okay, Neil, go ahead.
Yeah.
Well, your one problem you've got, if I was in had your birth date and I was in a financial bind, I would tell myself, the thing about it is you've got a 29 in your day and you've got a 0 in your month. And I'd be looking at that going, okay, I got a lot of karma here to deal with. Now, that karma results from basically family drama. We go back in time. A lot of your financial stability or instability is based upon family energy. So a lot of it has to do with domestic energy. That's a different quality. A lot of times our financial problems stem from immediately a family zone as opposed to more of a business zone. So first of all, you'd have to check out, Susan, to analyze this element correctly. What is my family situation like? What was I born into? How has the family stability been throughout my life from birth on?
Yeah. Well, that hasn't, been the best, put it that way.
Yeah. So because it hasn't been the best because you're in a continuum arch of energy from a past life where the way you left the earth, the planet, in a particular past life is how you continue it in this lifetime. So it extends back to difficulty and turmoil in the family atmosphere. Now, the interesting thing about your birth date is, as Kristen said, your master number is 8, and indeed that is a money sign. So basically speaking, 8s, their destiny is to get money and to have management and to be in their own world, to be master of their domain. And you have an 8 even in your year, again another sign that, this is great news. This is good stuff. Now, you're 56 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have to understand, Susan, your life goes in multiples of 8. So that's from birth to death. Are you on a multiple of 8 right now? At 56, yes.
Yeah.
You're on a multiple of 8 right now, so that's 7 times 8.
Eight, yeah.
That means that this year, until October of 2015, we might be able to see a change. Now, that can be activated with energy, aside from just giving a sheer prediction. Also, don't forget, when you turn 58, you're going to be reflecting the year you're born, and that's going to be another big one. In fact. Now, because your karmic number is 35, that is not divisible by 8. There's a three-year difference there, or a three-number difference. 32 is divisible by 8, not 35. So we've also have these 2 to 3 year changes. So if I was analyzing your energy, Susan, I'd say somewhere between now between. Now, notice the word between. Between now and years from now, there's a financial change that lifts you out of your turmoil.
How many years from now?
Well, it's anywhere from now to 3 years from now.
Three years from now.
We bring it closer to the now. Well, that would determine a little bit of energy work, investigation, trying to figure out what the obstacles are, and that kind of thing, to see if there's any way to tweak or encourage the energy to come in sooner than later. But
and how about luck? Like if I buy a scratch ticket, I don't always have good luck, and then all of a sudden it'll just be $100.
Yeah.
So
well,
that seems...
I'm not going to discourage you from... I wouldn't tell you to go broke, but I'm not going to discourage you from lucky signs. Lucky signs are in a seven zone. You have a seven caught between your two and nine in your day. But I would really have to go into deeper details to figure out the real meat of your problem so I could, you know, decipher how to resolve this financial crisis. But I can say briefly over the phone, 1 to 3 years, I know it's a gap, but it can be specified more closely in a reading. And as far as the lottery system or your luck, good luck is all I can say to you. I wouldn't discourage it, but don't spend too much money chasing after that dream.
Exactly, yeah.
Okay,
I just didn't know if that had something to do with my karma or, like, is luck more associated with certain numbers or...
Because
I try to figure it out, and I don't know why some are just so wealthy and win huge million jackpots, and others try and try and try, and they don't.
Okay,
yeah.
Just briefly, Neil, I'm
well,
going to move
on. Well, you
know,
that has a lot to do with karma and things like that. I you know, Susan, sevens are a lucky number, but that doesn't necessarily... dictate anything about luck with money.
Right, and seven is a spiritual number.
It's
so,
a
I mean,
spiritual
you
number,
know.
So it's, you know, you really have to look individually at a person's energy field to determine where the lucky sign is when people win money.
Okay, so we have to move on, Neil, because we've got a lot of callers in the queue. So 509 is next.
Hey,
who's this? Morning, hello.
¿Cuál es ese que está ahí, se asoma arriba? O ese pedazo.
Well, that's a real decoding obstacle.
We'll get back to her. Obviously, she's has us on hold and is in a conversation.
She's challenging us to decode this.
914, good morning. Good morning, 914. What is going on today? Huh. You cannot hear. 914 is on now. Hold on a sec. Are you there, caller? Are you there?
The sounds of silence.
It's very weird. Let's try 509 again. This is interesting. Are you there, 509?
Sí, mira ese pedazo que se acaba de bajar. Arriba, ese. Ahí, ese. Yeah,
okay. Let's bring on 305.
Well, I'm being challenged.
Oh, aren't we? Deanna, hi.
Hi. Well, as a translator, I could tell you that she's asking someone to, no, give me the one right above that one, right over there. That's the one I want.
Talking and trying to call a psychic show. All right. Well, multitasking.
Call an interpreter instead. I know you can't go into this at length, and right now I'll be grateful for whatever little information you give me. I turned the big 6-5 over the weekend. Thank you for your note, Kristen. And I was wondering what you see coming up pretty much immediately, because everything right now is going to be like an immediate thing.
Great. Perfect. Well, I'm glad that we could get to you. And Neil, she's 11-8-49.
Yeah.
She's a 33-6. And Deanna, I know you're having some problems with your living situation right?
Oh,
right.
Yeah. And money, living situation, life in general.
Okay.
Well, Deanna, one thing that I would one thing that could be encouraging, but it's a little bit there's a play of information here that would have to be more closely examined. But when you turn 66, you will have gone through 11 cycles of your master number, and 11 brings us back to the origins of your birth in terms of the way that the month, for just general purpose, the way that the month comes in first on a birth date. I calculate it according to month first, and I stick to that principle. So when you reach 66, you're going to have gone through 11 cycles of your master number, which is 6, and that brings us to your month. Now, what's interesting about your month is as we follow through with, like, with our previous caller, your third number is 8, and that's money. That's change. So I think what we're probably looking at, Deanna, is that from 65 to 66, you're going through an element of rebirth. That element,
you know, I've been thinking that renaissance. I've been thinking that definitely.
Yeah. Well, you are in that zone, and it's part of the internal nature of your soul to sort of cut through the shell of your physicality in order to go through that rebirth. But in order to go through that rebirth, we have to do some time hopping, because you're actually going back into a past life to retrieve some hidden pieces that were broken. So we get those broken pieces, and voila, we have a formula. We have a code that's worked out. And in that regard, what's interesting about your numbers is that you have two strategic numbers, the 8 in the day, the 9 in the year, which of course comes 17-8. Now, those two elements, I think, are your best bet of energy in terms of vibrational information, meaning you're going to have a rebirth that's going to sustain you till your physically dying day. So what happens at the age of 66 is that you're going to establish something that sustains your earthly walk throughout the planet until you expire. And that's what I'm predicting is going to happen. Now, some of it has to do, you have a strong verbal energy. I know we've done readings, and I know you're a translator of sorts. And that energy is hidden between your 4 and 9 in your year, which comes to a journey of 5, between 4 and 9. And that's your vocal chakra, your throat chakra. So there's going to be something to do with a certain amount of communication that can be filled by or fulfilled by your past journeys through that world, the things you've been doing throughout your lifetime in terms of translating, that has now gathered enough substance in order for an event to happen at the age of 66, which I think you're preparing for, and that year will go by quickly. So what I'm doing is I'm calculating briefly on the air today a journey that you're taking this year that will have a tangible outcome during the age of 66. But what you're doing now is most crucial. So I would concentrate on the fifth chakra, the vocal chakra, and whatever skills you have that helps humanity in that realm. And I know you're inclined to teach and inform, and that's part of your energy is to learn. So all of that is great. But how you manifest that for others is going to be very important and crucial to your outcome of high aspiration.
You know, it's funny because when you mentioned 17, that's my favorite number. And that's a number that marked my lifetime as well as that of my father, 17.
Yeah.
And I usually play that number. You said the 8 and 9. 8 was the money, and 9 was the completion, I suppose.
Eternal transcendent number.
Transcendent. Yeah, just like the number of births. You know, 9 is being pregnant, and 10 is giving birth.
Yes.
So 17 is pretty much my always, forever favorite number. That is good. I hope I reach 66. The last 7 years have been so difficult that I thought, okay, The Bible said 7 good years and 7 bad years. Maybe there was some truth to that.
There is some truth to that,
and,
in
your
case.
Of course, Neil's putting out energy for you, Deanna, as he does all the people that call our show. So that was a nice birthday reading.
Thank you so much, Kristen, and I will continue to listen until I get a call for work.
Sure, no problem. I always never on mute, assuming that they're going to want to hear the rest of the show. So thanks for your call, and happy birthday again, Deanna. Okay, let's bring on. We've got lots of callers, Neil. I'm going to try taking that 509 again. Is she there? Good morning, 509.
Hi. Yes, hi.
Hi, yeah.
Sorry about
earlier. Who is this?
Yeah, I was ordering some stuff because I'm going to make lunch right now in a bit. But, yeah, I was at the store.
We have a translator that we have on the line, so she was able to let us know what you were doing. What's your name?
This is Erica from Washington State.
Austin,
uh-huh.
And what's your birthday?
12/4/93.
Okay, Erica, welcome.
Thanks.
9/11/2. What is your question, Erica?
Neil was right. I did meet someone like 6-7 weeks ago. But I just want to get like a little like insight off him. I don't know what he thinks of him and like if he's real or what if he really likes me, you know?
Oh, or Erica, and you did a reading with Neil, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I did.
A private reading. Do you remember Erica?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So she did a private reading with you. She called and she'd done a private reading. She talked about her meeting someone and she wants to go to school and all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
Transferring schools, right?
In 4 months, I will.
Yeah, so I've got the right person. So, and I think we have a picture of you, Erica. But anyway,
yeah.
So you met this guy and your question is what?
Like if he really does like me or like is he just playing, like what can he get a feel of him?
Okay.
His name is Julian. Mm-hmm.
All right.
Okay, yeah, don't mention any last names.
Okay.
So we keep the privacy issue. Do you know his birth date?
No, I don't know that.
Okay,
but
well,
he's
let me
19
work.
And I'm 20.
Yeah, he's 19, you're 20. Oh, the age difference is terrible.
yeah. Talk. No.
You're going after a younger man. This is not healthier. Okay. Well, you know, he's drawn. Here's the vibes. He's drawn to you. So it's not. First of all, there's an immediate attraction because he's drawn to you. He finds you attractive. He likes your energy. He likes the way you look, the way you sound. He likes all that stuff, Erica. And so there's a general attraction. So the man is thinking, okay, I'm attracted to her. She's what fits in my category of attraction. Now, let's look at it a little bit deeper in our brief moments here. There's a past life symbol going on between you and him. And believe it or not, now, don't laugh. Well, you can laugh if you want. But there's a symbol between the two of you. You're already laughing. I haven't even told the joke yet. There's a symbol between the two of you. What that symbol is? A frog. Now, a frog, when you go into the element of fairy tales and deep literature and folklore and things like that, frogs are very interesting creatures. They fulfill a large capacity of energy. But I frogs are sort of wise in many ways. They're the guardians of the pond or the swamp. And I think that there's an element with water around the two of you, and there's also an element of magical energies, magical potions and things like that. So I think that there's a supernatural history you have with this person in an older, well, more ancient past life element that had to do with more folklore, folk custom, folk medicine, things like that, that I think the two of you probably had converged and communicated in a past life under a kind of tribal custom of what we would today call superstition or magic. So I think there's that element in there between the two of you. And the more I get into this, Erica, the more that I feel you've connected to a past life soul that has something to do with magic. So there's magic in the air. There's authenticity in the energy. Of course, you know, he's in a new body now, and he's going to go through his he's a 19-year-old guy, so he's, you know, he's just a guy. He's got his dementia.
Yeah.
19-year-old. So, of course, he's not going to, you're not going to have some ancient wisdom here in his head. But what you're going to have is a certain element coming from a past life that has authenticity to it. So it's a journey. Keep moving through it. We don't have his full birth date, but I do feel that you're attached to somebody from a past life.
Okay.
You know, just take it step by step. Don't jump into bed too soon. You know what I mean?
Yeah. He is really attractive, though. Yeah.
Yeah, this magical element about him. You know, the other thing is the frog prince in the fairy tales is with the princess kisses the frog and he turns into a handsome prince. And there's something, maybe you don't need to kiss him for him to be, he's already handsome, but you've already got this going on that there's some element, you know, it's intriguing, but we just don't have time to go into any further detail at the moment, Erica.
Okay, Erica, well,
uh-huh.
Enjoy lunch.
Thank you. Uh-huh. Bye.
It isn't late.
All right. Thanks, Erica. And yes. All our callers can get a hold of you at 562-596-7818. I forgot to say
that. And we
that
are
earlier.
On the cooking channel now, I understand.
Well, not quite. We know you're not.
No.
All righty. Let's try bringing on 914 again.
Hi, how are you?
Who is this?
It's Melissa.
Hi, Melissa. We tried to get your call earlier, but you wouldn't, we didn't hear anything. I don't know if there's a problem on Blog Talk Radio. Hold on just a moment, Melissa. So we have you, Melissa, here. Then our next caller is going to be 808 area code, and then we have caller 407. So hang tight, everybody. Melissa, how are you?
I'm okay, and the baby is getting there. And
okay,
they
yeah.
put her on the, she's going to be on the heart transplant list.
Right, because I remember there was a big problem with her health. And,
yeah.
Melissa, can we get your birth date?
My birthday is August 21st, 1983.
What
month, I'm sorry?
August 21st, 1983.
Got that double 8-3 going on, 8-21 and then 8-3. How weird. That's interesting. Oh, and there's the baby. Hi. What's the baby's name, Melissa?
Alyssa.
Alyssa and Melissa. How cute. Okay, and her birthday, quickly?
Her birthday is January 30th. 2014.
Yeah, I remember she's like a 10 or something. 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, or 11. Yeah, 11 or 10, I knew. What are you laughing about?
Well, I mean, 8 to 1 is an 11.
I know,
3
is
an
11.
And then
she's
her,
an 11
the baby's
too.
Born, the master number is 11. Mm-hmm. Of course, with Melissa's master number 5, 5 and 2 is 7, which is a sacred energy, and the baby's on the heart transplant list, which is good news.
Okay,
so we got that zone going. And I've got Melissa at 31 years 31. Old, and so she's going through a great change this August.
Right.
This August is going to be a big change, Melissa.
Wow.
A very good change. Your inner element's going to be an 8, which signifies the window of birth. And, you know, you gave birth roughly almost a year ago, but this element that's coming up in August, you're going to be, there's a rebirth going on. Now, that element, remember, that element, you're going to be in your of 83. So listen to this closely. You're going to be in your 8 of 83 according to the map of how old you are. That 8, coupled with Alyssa's master number 2, is 82. Those are your first two numbers. So what happens is that Melissa and Alyssa are past life. And you're reaching back. Alyssa had a past life of danger and died within probably somewhere within the realm of life, like 14 or 15, maybe even 11.
Yeah.
And you've come back to give Alyssa rebirth energy. So it comes out of your womb, you bring her into the world, and now this time the energy is about you giving Alyssa a second chance of life so that she can perform her proper duties on the planet and thereby transcend. You've given her now that capability. Don't forget, your 8 in your year coupled with the 3 in her month is 83, which is your year. So I'm predicting some great spiritual events going on between the two of you that might be cemented by astral dreams that you have that approach the past life dramas that you had with this child. That was different because I think she was around 11 when she died in the past life, and you were 14 at the time. So there's this element. You might have been sisters. At that point in time. So there's a strong zone going on in there that I think is going to be very significant for what's approaching, and it's going to have its a significant value when the Alyssa's 2 years old. And when you're 32 years old, it's almost simultaneously at the same time, because those you'll be 32 when she's 2, somewhere in that time zone. Those two ages will intercept, and that's going to be a very powerful time.
Wow, that's very cool. Yeah, and it's like every time her birthday comes, that's when I'm going to know.
Oh, and Melissa, just real quick, when's the surgery, just so we have that in our brains here? Do you know?
Oh, when is it? I have no. When you're on the list, you have to basically, you have to wait until they have someone dies, and they have to have the same blood type, and be around, and have the kind of like the same size for her to get their heart.
So just be sure to give a call back when you find more information out about that.
Absolutely,
you know.
I will definitely let y'all know. But they had explained to me is that it depends on the worse you are, the closer you are to get one.
Right.
And,
well,
I
will be praying for you and Alyssa, definitely.
Thank you. I will let y'all know when she gets there at that time to get back.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome, and great to hear from her. You know, she's been calling our show since the beginning, so it's always nice to get her updates, and hopefully her daughter's health is going to be progressing because of this.
I've made sure I calculated. There will be a time when Melissa will be 32 and Alyssa will be 2.
Yeah.
So there is that zone right in there. That's going to be interesting.
Okay, stay tuned. All right, 808 is next. Good morning. So, goodness, 808, 951, and 407. We've got 3 callers left, Neil, in about 16 minutes. Hi there.
Hello.
Hi, who's this?
My name is Lacey.
Hi, Lacey. Is it L-A-C-I-E, I mean I or E-Y?
L-A-C-E-Y.
E-Y.
I've been doing number allergy for a while, but I'm just... I'm interested in appearing to the general.
Okay, what's your birthday?
Married to a general?
My birthday is January 16th, 1992.
92, okay, and you're saying you're interested in a general reading, is that right?
Yes, please.
January
16th? Yep, and she's also a 2911, too. We've got all these 11s.
2911, too. I mean, 29-11-2s, I don't think I've ever done a reading with Lacey before, but I've always said that 29-11-2s are complex numbers. 29, and you're born in 92, which is the inverted 29. That's your master number, Lacey, is 29-11-2. The baby Alyssa was 11-2. Erica was a 29-11-2. Some of our callers have been...
Right, and then, of course,
Susan
Melissa...
Melissa, yeah.
Had the 11 factors on either side of her birthday, the 821 and 83, and then, the 29 with Susan.
Susan was born the 29. Well, Lacey, the 29-11-2s come to the earth with a lot of karma within the relationship department, sexual relationship, family relationship. There's a little bit of ego energy in there. So there's some complexity for a human being to work out when they're a 29-11-2. And the degree of complexity is kind of contingent on what the energies are in a past life. You have an 11 in your first two numbers. So don't forget, your master number is 29 equals 11 equals 2, and voila, your first two numbers are 1-1. Now, that 11 is sort of telling you that you're revisiting a past life. You're actually, until the age of 29, you're in a past life zone, and you are currently 22 years old. No. Yeah,
7 more years to go.
What's that?
7 more years to go.
You have 7 more years to go. But, and 7, you know, that's unique because your 16 adds up to a 7. But this has to do with the other number is 6 in your day, and that's the third eye. That's visionary energy. So there's something to do with visionary energy in you. Now, are you at all talented? Do you have any creative abilities, artistic abilities?
I have a lot of anything artistic. I have writing, drawing. I come up with different business ideas, singing, dancing.
Yeah, well, those are all artistic. Those are all artistic. And, Lacey, that's where we're in the air energy. Because right now, at least until the age of 29, you can, because 611 is an 8, you can actualize yourself quite significantly before the age of 29, with an element of artistic integrity. So what we have to do is look deeply at your artistic endeavors and see how to manifest them into something business-wise that can be lucrative for you, where you can have the proper significant outcome monetarily and significantly spiritually and emotionally and all that. In the meantime, what we've got to look at on the other note is the difficulties you have in relationships and the difficulties you had in what you were born into in terms of the stability of the household throughout your early years, about the age of 8 or so, or maybe even 16. We'd have to examine how stable the household was. You know, separations, estrangement, divorce, abuse, volatile natures of energy, things like that. And then we'd have to move slowly into your own relationship. You're only 22, but into your own relationship history with your romantic relationships. We'd have to look at that and incorporate that into the overall fabric of your artistic journey on this planet. The good news is that your year 92 reflects your karma 29, and that 9 is very powerful. Once you turn 29, you're going to be doing something that can sustain you throughout your life, even though you're going to have continual karma to deal with. But it's very interesting. So I can't go into much detail. I can only give you this brief preface of information to a much deeper chapter in your life, but I hope that has at least given you 5 minutes of some criteria.
No, it was excellent. Thank you so much.
And Lacey, where are you calling from? Just to we make notes, and I didn't ask you that. I'm sorry.
Calling from Hawaii.
Yeah, that's what I thought. What island?
Big Island.
Okay, great. All right, Lacey, thank you so much for your call. And Lacey can follow us right here on Blog Talk Radio. She can also join us on Facebook and Twitter. Those accounts are linked, of course, under our Blog Talk Radio profile. All righty. So we have 951 and 407 area code. Good morning, 951.
Hey, it's Nathaniel calling back. How are you?
Hi, Nathaniel. It's Nathaniel, and no E's, it's all A's, Nathaniel, A-L.
Right on.
Yeah, I remember that. And Nathaniel, what's your birth date again, please?
May 1st, 1957.
All righty. And what's going on, Nathaniel?
Well, I guess I'm 57, and I'm born in 57, so he was saying that I might have some education. And so I'm just kind of,
Well, you know, that's the expression of the verbalization of spirit. Now, spirit can mean that, spiritually speaking, Nathaniel, you have a certain element that you're supposed to reach on this planet where you've succumbed the element of spirituality. And don't forget, that's broadly defined. spirituality is broadly defined, and I mean broadly. But that element,
yeah,
that five, is at five to seven, there's a journey of two. Now, that's a rebirth for you. So I'm predicting at the age of 57, which you just are a few months into, more than a few months, but that somewhere in that age, you should lock in a certain verbal energy, communication energy, that you can incorporate into a higher level of spirituality. Are you involved in any form of communication in any way, broadly speaking?
Communication right now, but I'm not exactly sure if we're able to leave.
Well, what's your job? You're 57. You should still be in the working world.
Well, it's a security guard, but unfortunately, I got laid off, so I'm collecting unemployment. I really didn't like the job.
Yeah, well, because the security guard is just your karma. It's a karma of protecting the earth, so to speak. That's in the one of your day. That's not your essence on the planet. That's your karma on the planet. What I'm speaking more specifically is your essence on the planet, not your karma. What would you like to be doing? What's your dream?
Possibly music, but it doesn't seem like...
Oh, wait a minute. That works. That works, Nathaniel. That works, because that's the element of communication on a higher level of energy. So that one works. We're in the right field. Now what we have to do is work through a rebirth to get there, which could be a little difficult because you've been struggling on the planet for a long time without having fully actualized yourself. So you're still chasing after a dream, but now that you're 57, we may be able to manifest that dream into something significant. To what degree, I don't know yet, but it would mean that you're chasing after the essence of your life, not the karma. We want the essence. So that means that you've got to start promoting your music, composing, creating, collaborating. You've got to start doing that without any guarantee that it's going to go anywhere. We're not worrying about guarantee right now. We're worrying about you chasing after the essence of your life. So you have to, right now, work towards developing your musical skills and expression and disregard where you're lucky or not lucky. Don't worry about that right now. Just pursue your musical dream. That's what you have to do right now, Nathaniel. It may not pay the bills. You may have to reach into a karmic world to pay the bills. But I don't want you neglecting your musical talents and dreams in the off hours of your working world. So you have to balance now the two. That's what you have to do at the moment of our discussion.
Hey, sweet. Thanks a lot, Neil.
You're welcome.
Okay, Nathaniel. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Neil's number, 562-596-7818. Okay. One last caller here, 407. Good morning.
Hello?
Hi. Yes.
Hey, this is Laura from Florida. Orlando.
I'm sorry. Laura. Oh, Laura. Hi, Laura.
Hi.
Can we get your birth date again, Laura?
4/24/81.
24/81. I think she's a 29/11 too. Also, 29. Yeah, I remembered.
Another 11. Huh?
Gosh, it's like the day of 11. Laura, how's everything?
Everything's okay. I actually I want to talk about a dream or maybe astral experience. I've actually. Kind of nice because I can't talk to anyone else about this, but it's been happening since my teens. I have a dream, and somehow in the dream I start being attacked or assaulted, and it feels like what you describe as having trouble entering the body. Like I feel this pressure on me and this pain in my spine, and I try so hard to wake myself up. And
you're stuck.
Yeah. And I've tried so many things, you know, people say to keep salt and burn sage and just pray and ask the angels for protection at night. And I do it every night because it's been with me for a long time.
You know,
feels personal.
I'm sorry?
It feels really personal. Like I can't, it feels like you're being attacked, you know. And
Well, I'm going to say
it's just.
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Well, what I was going to say about burning sage and, you know, whatever, salt, those are all, I mean, they're just not really super effective things to do. I mean, obviously, I guess you can infuse anything with spiritual energy, but as far as them on their own being, it's not going to be. But, Neil, I'm going to hand it over to you because we've got 4 minutes. What can you tell Laura?
Well, what's happening, Laura, is that when you're leaving your body at night, your soul is getting caught in a past journey, act mortified in a way. What's happening is your soul leaves your body, your astral body leaves your body at night through the silver cord. And you enter you're getting sucked up in the vacuum of a past life. So you can't avoid it, because there's unresolved issues in that past life. And when you're out of your body, you're more attuned to that time zone, because it's not being confused by being in the body of your current life. So you're kind of stripping away your current circumstances. You leave your body, and your soul, your astral soul, is going right back to that past life where you were probably being pursued, chased on, I think it was by a horse. You were on a horse and you were being chased, probably with a bullet hole in your side, and the commanding forces were chasing you down like a bandit. That's what I'm getting. In this lifetime, any military experiences, policemen, any infractions with the law, from civil to domestic to
speeding tickets. I had a lot of speeding tickets. I had a lot of speeding tickets in my 20s.
Oh,
speeding tickets.
Speeding. I thought you said you ate spinach. Well, speeding tickets. You see, speeding tickets, you're eluding the law. The horse is now the car, and you're running from the law, because I'm telling you in a literal translation what that really means. Of course, speeding tickets can just be a speeding ticket. It's silly to say that you had a speeding ticket, you must have been abandoned in a past life. That's silly. But in your case, it isn't. What I'm getting is that you were abandoned, you eluded the law in a horse, and you were in the wrong in that lifetime. Maybe, I don't think you were a bad person, but you were a bandit. And now in this lifetime, we jump over, the horse is the car, and you have speeding tickets. So I would have to go in there and examine what's going on in the past life to why you keep getting sucked into it and feeling stabbing pains and getting locked in to zone. That locked-in feeling is you being imprisoned. Because I think you probably escaped from prison at some point in that lifetime. So we would have to go more further into detail, Laura, but I hope this gives you some opening paragraphs as to the dilemma that you're suffering. And incense and candles are not going to do it. This has to go deeper into the psyche of the soul.
Okay, so praying and asking for help and all that stuff's not going to do it either?
That helps. Of course I'm.
Okay.
I'm not
going to
put
down.
That helps. But you know, you need more help than that. That helps, but it's deeper than that.
Okay, I see what you mean. It's like a small Band-Aid.
Yeah,
exactly. And there's a lot of misinformation out there about what is going to be effective at clearing energy. And obviously, it's not working what's happening, I mean, right now. So there's a deeper investigation that needs to be done. Neil, briefly, but thank you, Laura, for your call. And hopefully that helps. You're welcome. And we've got about 22 seconds. I'm sorry, I muted you too quickly. We're back on the air on Wednesday at 10 a.m. Neil, was that an astral dream Laura was having? I just wanted to quickly ask. Or
yeah, she was
that's
going
an
out of
astral. Okay, so on Wednesday, we'll discuss more about these wonderful topics. Okay, thanks everyone for joining us. Bye.